Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org. bethanyhour.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again looking into this wonderful book of Luke. Those of you who are tuned in to the radio, we're happy to have you tuned in, and we pray that this gospel message from Jesus Christ himself will bless your socks off.
You know, a lot of what we're reading here in Luke is in red ink, and so it's what Jesus said, and Luke definitely gives us a wonderful insight into the person of Jesus and his teaching.
We're looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and we recognize that when Jesus comes back the second time, all of his teachings will be proved to be true.
Amen.
Everything he said is yes and amen. There's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was, but he truly is going to prove them wrong when he comes back again. And you can imagine, when he comes through that eastern gates, even all of Israel is going to accept him as the Messiah.
Every eye is going to see it. Every knee is going to bow and confess that he is Lord. It's going to be a great and glorious day.
Great day in the morning.
Amen.
In Luke 16, in verse 16, we're picking it up, some additional teachings of the Lord Jesus. He says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. So John, we're talking about the Baptist. John the Baptist was the prophet who came to make the way, to proclaim who Jesus was, that Jesus is the Son of Man, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so he says the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. So he's kind of putting an end, if you will, to the Old Testament here, saying that everything in the law, everything in the prophets, they were proclaimed. But now comes John, and John's bringing a message, a new message.
He's bringing the message that the kingdom of God has come, that the wonderful fruition of God's plan of salvation is beginning to be fulfilled. What the law and the prophets spoke about, John is here to reveal that there is one that's going to come after him that is going to fulfill what had been preached for thousands of years.
And so many things in the law, especially all of the ceremonial law, actually was a shadow, actually pointed to the coming of the Messiah.
Right.
So they all kind of pointed, every sacrifice that was made, all the animals, the need for the shedding of blood for forgiveness of sins, everything pointed to the Lamb of God. Everything points to Christ himself. So everything in the Old Testament and the prophets were to tell about who Jesus is. And now John comes and he says, and since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone is forcing his way into it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Everyone's forcing his way into it. And it seems like today that people are having a challenge to actually enter into receiving truth. You almost have to fight your way into truth because there's such a lie out there. There's such misunderstanding of what truth is.
You know, there's definitely been, I'm going to say in our educational system, from elementary into college and post-grad, definitely a shift has taken place in our educational system, and it has pointed people away from the foundational truths that have been around for millennia. And you can kind of see it, how it's been unfolding. I saw a sign the other day, a meme, if you will, from Facebook that said, you know, if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm just like, I was stunned when I saw that. But
it's a horrible thought.
You know, that is the mindset of a lot of people today, or some people today. I don't want to over-exaggerate, but like you said, truth is definitely missing, and we need to get back to some of that basic truth.
It is, and when you hear people, they seem to have a rudeness about them,
yep.
And I heard somebody say it, just because you're rude doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are very rude, and they are very wrong. And
yeah.
It's true. But here he says that people were forcing their way into the gospel, into the kingdom, because I think there is someone that wants to stop you from coming in. There is a spiritual force. We recognize that when the rebellion took place in heaven, they came to the earth. The fallen angels, Satan himself, came to the earth and attacked God's creation.
Yep.
And there was a rebellion that took place in the earth, and now the in the heavens, and now the rebellion's on the earth. And if anybody gets close to the kingdom, those people who and forces are trying to keep you from entering in, you really have to push your way in. You have to force your way in. I've seen people, especially they come to church, but their husband can't get them to come to church, and he almost have to get a forceful thing. Something has to happen in their life for them to come to the Lord.
You know, there definitely is that battle that
it's
rages.
A battle.
It
That's
rages
exactly.
within
yeah.
each one of us to yeah. to even accept who Jesus Christ
That's
is.
That's true.
And then even when we take it that step further from us accepting Jesus Christ, and then when we tell people what we've done, the battle begins to rage on the external level as well. And then that mental battle that takes place each and every day as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we try to make decisions based on this word, and there's a tension that's there.
Yeah, I know. Just last week, I was at the inauguration, and we were going to a Christian meeting, and we had to force our way through the crowd, yeah. through the protesters, to get to a Christian meeting. And some of us were in fear of our lives. There were yeah. some, especially the ladies, they were really concerned because there was actual, you had to force your way to get to a meeting,
wow.
to a Christian meeting. You
wow.
think, why should that be in a country yeah. like this? There should be a freedom there. If they can protest, you should have a freedom to be able to go and do
sure.
go something like that. But no, that's not the way it is. And so he says here, Jesus says, it's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law, yeah. out of the scriptures. Now, if you think about that term that he's speaking here, yeah. that it's easier for all of heaven and earth to disappear than for one word or one dot, a stroke of yeah. the pen in the Bible to be gone. I mean, that's a powerful statement on how this word truly should. It's designed to help us, guide us in this life that we live.
You know, it's definitely an affirmation of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the words that were written there. It's an affirmation that is God's word. There are many people in the world today that do not believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God. But here Jesus affirms that and says God's word is so powerful that in another place he says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. And he's basically saying the same thing here, that promise I made that I will provide salvation and help and hope for the human race, he says, I am going to fulfill that. Even if heaven and earth were to disappear, I'm going to keep my word.
Yeah. And we think about the fact that there are a lot of people that do not believe that there are such a thing as an absolute truth. They
yeah.
don't believe that there are things that are consistent everywhere. They think everything is relative, so
yeah.
you can change it. If a law is made by man, then you can change it. You can rewrite it. You can do whatever you want. But if this law really is something that comes from God, then we don't have the right to change it,
right.
nor do we have a right to disobey it, because here it is a word that is something to help us in society, in life, to do what is right and to have a peace within our among ourselves.
You know, I thought about the nation of America and how its foundation was on scripture, and people left Europe to come here for religious freedom, to worship God. And I think about where we are at in the few 300 years or so, to, you know, 200 to 300 years since the foundation, and how far we have slipped away, and some people have slipped away, and how government has, like you said, enacted laws that are totally opposed to God's word, and how this nation was so blessed because it was based on the Bible. And we are going to see as the nation falls away from that biblical truth. I hope we can come back and stand on a firm foundation, because that's when a nation is blessed. But it's like we've said just a few moments ago, there's a war that's happening right now.
Yeah, but there's a falling away. And like you said, that the major universities or colleges that were formed in America, you know, you talk about Harvard, you talk about some of those, they were all religious, like Bible colleges.
Yeah.
They were all schools that
yeah.
taught the Bible, because back then they wanted to teach you how to live. Today
yeah.
we've gone to teaching people how to make a living, not
yeah.
so much how to live.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more interested in the dollar and see
right.
how much can I get out of this thing
yeah.
rather than how do I live correctly.
Yeah.
It's more about me than it is about pleasing God, pleasing
yeah.
me, pleasing myself, pleasing men, not pleasing God. So you're mm-hmm. absolutely correct. Anyone in Jesus is now, he's talking about these scriptures, these principles that are found in the the Bible. He says, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Here, he's trying to help us to understand that there is something about a society where a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, make a commitment to themselves for life. That's really what he's talking about. It's, I mean, there are reasons that people get divorced. Sure. That's not what we're saying. We're saying here, this is the best thing. When you have a society where you have one man, one woman, and there's a family, and they're committed to each other, it's the best thing for your culture.
You know, it definitely is. And historical, you know, cultural relevance at this point, I think there were probably religious leaders or, you know, people in the Jewish faith who were just getting divorced for willy-nilly reasons. It wasn't like they had a real reason. And this is true if you read the Old Testament. It was true throughout the nation of Israel's history that men would just get divorced and just to have another wife. And so there were no biblical grounds for it. Jesus does give us biblical grounds. Paul gives us biblical grounds. And so Jesus is affirming here, listen, I created one man, one woman to be in a marital relationship and for that to be until death do you part. And that's the heart of God. That's God's perfect will for a person's life, or his plan, his desire is for one man, one woman to live together and to enjoy married life.
Yeah. Then Jesus is going to switch now. He's going to talk about the rich, a parable of a rich man and a man called Lazarus. And here he says there was a rich man who was lived. He dressed in purple. Now, purple and fine linen, that is probably as high as you could get back then. Mm-hmm. Purple was a very difficult color to actually produce then. It only came from the ink of a snail that came from the ocean. Wow. And it was very, very expensive. In fact, Lydia was a dressmaker or whatever. Yep. She dealt in purple, and she made a fine living supporting Jesus also. But here, he's a rich man. He's got purple, he's got fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. So he's a wealthy man.
Yeah, rich guy.
Rich guy. He's definitely rich. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat, but fell from the rich man's table. So Lazarus was not doing very well. He would probably be considered on the poverty level for sure.
Yeah, sure.
And even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, that's a kind of a little bit of a, if you're telling a parable, you add dogs into it. People usually like to have dogs around, yeah. You know, so here, but this dog's coming and he feels sorry. The dog must feel sorry for the guy because the dog is licking his sores. The rich man's not saying that, but the dog is sorry.
The rich man's laying around in luxury, you know, fine linen, whatever. And poor Lazarus, he's got illness. And his health is gone, and he's laying down. He wants to eat the crumbs off of the rich guy's table, and here come the dogs.
Yeah, but, you know, nobody loves you like a dog.
No,
nobody meets you at the door like a dog.
No.
And here is a dog feeling sorry.
Yeah.
He's
to
coming.
Have a dog feel sorry for him.
Sorry, the dog feels sorry for Lazarus that he's licking his sores, because I think the dog licking his sores probably make his sores feel better.
Yeah.
And probably brings healing, because that's what they say. The saliva from the dog probably helped heal him.
Wow.
But the dog loves him, and Lazarus is getting fed fed this love and affection from a dog, but nothing coming from the rich
nothing
man.
Nothing from the rich man.
Time came when the beggar died. The angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. So we got both guys dying, because that's what happens.
Yep.
Happens in life.
This is life. You don't get out of it alive.
Can't get, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, death's going to come your way,
exactly.
Should the Lord carry. So so the rich man and this man called Lazarus both die. And in hell now, where he was in torment, we're talking about the rich man.
Yep.
He's in hell. I don't believe in hell, Pastor. I don't believe there's such a place. Why would God, who loves people, make a hell?
Yeah.
He didn't make it for you to go there.
No.
That's not what it's for. It's to torment the enemy who had a rebellion in heaven. There's a rebellion that took place in heaven. And God says, no, there's a place. One day they're going to be locked up in the pit of hell. And of course, if you follow that enemy, then you're just going to end up where he is.
Exactly. Yeah. Not made for man.
It was made for us.
Satan and original. The fallen angels. Yep.
So he looked and he saw Abraham far away. So the rich man is in hell, and he looks and he sees Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Now, Abraham was a sign for Israel. He was the father of faith. So they looked at him, and they said, wow, Lazarus is with Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's big stuff. He's with Abraham. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, here Jesus gives us, like you said, a pretty clear picture of heaven and hell.
He does.
And those two places are literal, real places, and you will wind up in one or the other.
Yeah, and you know, here, look, it's just he doesn't even want to drink.
Yeah.
Just put a little water on the tip of his finger.
Yeah.
And then just stick it on my tongue.
Yeah.
That's how miserable he is.
Yeah.
I can only imagine if he's that miserable, by the time Lazarus took his finger, put it in the water and got it there, it probably evaporated from his finger anyway. Probably gone. So it's probably nothing there anyway.
No.
So, but Abraham replied, son, remember that your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us, there is a great chasm. It's been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from here to us.
Yeah.
Wow. We don't like to believe this, but this is what he says.
I mean, it's if Jesus is using this as a parable, even as a parable, you know, some people say, well, it's just a story that he made up.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a lot of other places where he affirms the existence of both of these places. And he's giving us a very clear picture that the rich man was only focused on himself, self-centered, did not have any faith in God, I guess, or whatever, and wound up going to hell. Whereas Lazarus was, was a person of faith, even though he suffered. And now you get the two things you think when the rich person dies, you get everything. Well, you know, it's not
so much.
He who has the most toys wins at the end.
No. So he answers, then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I've got five brothers. Warn them so that they will not have to come to this place of torment. And Abraham replies, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus really understood where he was heading.
Yeah.
He understood that he would rise from the dead and people would still not believe him.
Isn't that incredible that Jesus announces who he is? We have in the Word of God, we know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
We know what he's done. We know his plans and purposes.
Yeah.
And yet people still will not believe, even though he died and came back.
And come back. So here he sticks his own future here, his own life into this parable. I love it. I love the way he throws that in there.
It's awesome.
I mean, he put John the Baptist in there, right? And he had Father Abraham. You can't beat putting Father Abraham to the Jewish people, but he puts himself in here too. So listen, Jesus rose from the dead. Don't take a chance. Give your heart to the Lord now.
Amen.
Because the day's coming when you're not going to have a good day unless you believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, have a great day. God bless.